Now, friends, as we come to the first book of Kings, again, may I say that this is the second in a series of three double books, 1st and 2nd Samuel, and then 1st and 2nd Kings, and 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Actually, the double books were at one time single books, one book of Samuel, one book of Kings, one book of Chronicles, but the Septuagint translators made the division, and of course they made it more or less for the convenience of the reader, and I think that it was probably a very wise decision that was made. The theme, as we come now to these two books of Kings, is this expression that occurs nine times in 1 Kings, as David his father. In other words, we're following the line of David, and each king was measured by the standard of David. Now, very frankly, it was a human standard, and it was not the highest standard in the world. But we find that king after king failed to attain even to it. But thank God there were those that did measure up to it. And we find that as you get into this section, that it's a sorry, sordid section. It's history. And it reveals the decline and fall of the kingdom. It was first divided, and then each kingdom fell. We have a key. I always like to pick out a verse that more or less describes this section in each book of the Bible. I would choose here 2 Kings 17, 22, 23, and let me read that. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. And now another verse to 2 Kings 25:21. And the king of Babylon smote them and slew them at Riblah in the land of Hamath. So Judah was carried away out of their land. Now we have here in 1 Kings the record of the division of the kingdom, and 2 Kings records the collapse of the kingdom. And when they are considered together, they open with King David, they close with the king of Babylon. They are the book of man's rule over God's kingdom, and the results are not good, of course. The throne on earth must be in tune with the throne in heaven if blessings come and benefits accrue to God's people. Yet man's plan cannot overthrow God's purposes, as we shall see. Now, what we have here is a continuation of the narrative that was begun in 1 and 2 Samuel. Actually, 1 and 2 Samuel with 1 and 2 Kings can be viewed as one book. In these two books, the history of the nation is traced from the time of its greatest extent, influence, and prosperity under David and Solomon to the division, and finally the captivity and exile of both kingdoms. Now, the moral teaching here is to show man his inability to rule himself and the world. In these four historical books, we have the rise and fall of the kingdom of Israel. Now, this is very important, as you can see. Now, in the first two chapters, we just continue right on with the story of David. And here, actually, we have David in chapter 1. He becomes senile. And then we have the abortive attempt of Adonijah to seize the throne. And also, we have Solomon anointed by David. So this first chapter is actually a tremendous chapter, by the way, that opens 1 Kings. Now let's begin reading here. It's a sad verse that opens here. We read, "Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with cloths, but he gat no heat." David is old now, and he's senile. He's an old man. It's difficult to conceive of David as an old man. We always think of David from the Sunday school card that was given to us when we were little, picture of a shepherd boy. And it's difficult to picture him as an old, senile man, but that's what he is. Now, we find that Adonijah, his son, takes advantage of him in this condition, and he attempts to put himself on the throne, make himself king. And, of course, that's not going to fit in with God's plan. And we see a great deal of intrigue that goes on here. That was one of the things that characterized the reign of David, was the amount of intrigue that went on. Now let's find out who Adonijah was. This is the first time that he's really been mentioned to us in any prominent connection at all. Verse 5. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself. And that word exalted himself is interesting, for there's a verse of Scripture that you can put right down over it. He that exalteth himself shall be abased. Now that's going to be true of Adonijah. And he exalted himself by saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. Now there are many things that are said to us here about Adonijah. We already know about him. He's a very proud young man. He has a very high regard for himself. He's a very conceited young man, by the way. And you detect in him some of the traits of his brother, Absalom. Absalom led a rebellion against David. This boy, I think, had something not been done, he would have led a rebellion against his own father, David. But David, now being senile and old, and he had never had a reputation of disciplining his family. I tell you, he certainly had a disorganized family. It was in the palace of David, it was organized chaos all the time. And what we have is this boy here taking advantage of the situation. And he is a brother of Absalom. This tells us a great deal about him. And David never rebuked him. When he did this, David, I think, just smiled as an old indulgent man would over this boy of his. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they, following Adonijah, helped him. Now, Joab, who had been loyal to David all the way through, he now goes over to this boy Adonijah. And very candidly, you can see his position. He's feathering his nest. He's preparing for the future. David's old. He'll be gone shortly. Now, Joab wants to be on the winning side. The only one on the scene that's making any move to the throne is Adonijah. And as a result, this man Joab, who had tremendous influence in the palace and the court of David, he'd been David's right-hand man from the very beginning. And I'm confident he was loyal to David. I do not believe he would have permitted this boy Adonijah to touch a hair of David's head. But he did want somebody, you know, on the scene to come to the throne at this time. And there's no other boy, no other son of David that seemed to be likely. And I think that's interesting. I do not think Joab would have picked Solomon as king. And if you want my judgment, I would say that David did not want Solomon either. After all, Absalom was his choice. And you would think that he probably would smile at the move of Adonijah, because Adonijah must have been very much like Absalom. Now we find that Adonijah made a banquet. That's always a good way to get support for any project. You want to do something, have a church banquet or have a banquet somewhere, and you'll get a lot of support. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen, fat cattle, by the stone of Zoheleth, which is by En-Rogel, and called all his brethren the king's sons and all the men of Judah the king's servants. Well, what he's going to do is make the announcement that he's the king. And I think by right of primogeniture, he probably had a right to the throne, or he had a claim upon the throne. I take it that he was older than Solomon. Well, I don't only take it, it's told here. He was older than Solomon. And according to the rule and regulation of the day, the oldest son always was the crown prince and succeeded. And his oldest brother, or older brother, Absalom, is dead, of course. Now, when the invitations went out to the king's sons, this is a pretty bold move, and especially in light of the fact that Solomon was left out. He just didn't get an engraved invitation. Now, this is where Nathan the prophet begins to move, verse 10. But Nathan the prophet and Benaiah and the mighty man and Solomon, his brother, he called not. Now, he knew that Nathan would be on Bathsheba's side because of the fact that it was Nathan that guided David during that awful period when David committed the great sin that he did. Now, Nathan goes to Bathsheba, verse 11. Wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, Hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign, and David our Lord knoweth it not? Actually, Adonijah was now beginning to move to the back of David. He was not consulting him at all. Now, Nathan wants to make a move, and he does it. He says, Go and get thee unto King David. Say unto him, Didst not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thine handmaid, saying, Assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne? Why then doth Adonijah reign? This man, David, had made a promise to Bathsheba that when the second boy was born, which was Solomon, the first son had died, that he would be the king. And David is making no move to put Solomon on the throne. I don't think that he had very much of a heart for it. I don't think he was enthusiastic about making him king. And I think we can show that as we move along here. This is not just on my part, just guesswork, because I think it's quite obvious that David did not exactly approve of Solomon. Now we read verse 14, Behold, while thou yet talkest there with the king, I will also come in after thee, confirm thy word. In other words, he says, we better alert David, and the way to do it is you go in and tell him, then I'll come in and enforce it, and maybe we can wake up this senile king to what's taking place under his very nose. Now we read verse 15, And Bathsheba went in unto the king, into the chamber, and the king was very old. And Abishag the Shunammite ministered unto the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance unto the king. And the king said, What wouldest thou? And he hadn't seen her, I think, in a long time. And she said unto him, My lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God unto thine handmaid, saying, Assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. And now, behold, Adonijah reigneth. And now, my lord, the king, thou knowest it not. He hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and hath called all the sons of the king, and Abiath of the priest, and Joab the captain of the host. But Solomon thy servant hath he not called. And thou, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are upon thee, that thou shouldst tell them, Who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him? See, David had made no move to pick his successor, and he had several sons there. And I'm of the opinion that Adonijah was a very attractive, handsome, capable boy, and a great many were going after him. It says, Otherwise it shall come to pass, when my lord the king shall sleep with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders. And lo, while she yet talked with King Nathan the prophet, also came in. And they told the king, saying, "Behold, Nathan the prophet." When he was coming before the king, he bowed himself before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, "My lord, O king, hast thou said Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne?" And David says, "Well, of course I never said anything like that." And then King David answered, I'm dropping down now to verse 28. He said, "Call me Bathsheba." She came into the king's presence, stood before the king. And the king sware and said, "As the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day." And I noticed that David didn't say "our son." He said "your son." David wasn't too much for Solomon, and I don't think they had too much in common, as we shall see here. Now we read, "Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and did reverence to the king and said, 'Let my lord King David live forever.' And King David said, 'Call me Zadok the priest.' And Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, they came before the king. The king also said unto them, 'Take with you the servants of your lord, and call Solomon my son to ride upon mine own mule, and bring him down to Gihon.'" You see, the mule was the animal kings rode upon. The horse was the animal of warfare. You find in the book of Revelation the riding of the four horses. That's turmoil, warfare. And the Lord Jesus comes to this earth riding on a white horse. That speaks of warfare. He's coming to put down rebellion on the earth. And you will find that when the Lord Jesus was here, he didn't come to make war. He came to bring peace to souls that will trust him. And he rode the little animal into Jerusalem. But that's the animal that kings ride upon. And so now the animal that David rode upon is to be brought out, decked out, and this boy Solomon is to be put on him. And also Solomon sitteth on the throne of the kingdom. The word went out to Jerusalem. And moreover, the king's servants came to bless our Lord King David, saying, "God make the name of Solomon better than thy name, and make his throne greater than thy throne." The king bowed himself upon the bed. David's an old man, friends. "And also thus saith the king, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which hath given one to sit on my throne this day, mine eyes even seeing it.' And all the guests that were with Adonijah were afraid, rose up, went every man his way. And Adonijah feared because of Solomon, and arose and went and caught hold on the horns of the altar." That was the place, you see, of safety in that day, holding on to the strength of the Lord, as it were. "And it was told Solomon, saying, 'Behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon, for lo, he hath caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear unto me today that he'll not slay his servant with the sword.' And Solomon said, 'If he'll show himself a worthy man, there shall not a hair of him fall to the earth. But if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die.'" Now Solomon is being very fair here at the beginning with Adonijah. If he chose himself to be a loyal subject, why, nothing would happen to him. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and he came and bowed himself to King Solomon. And Solomon said unto him, "Go to thine house." He dismissed him. And Adonijah now goes to his own house.